Let me say that this is it's very, very important to acknowledge the work of many NGOs and initiatives here in Germany to raise this awareness, to gain attention for this not appraised colonial history of Germany and the atrocities of German colonial powers in many regions of the world, and therefore also the neglected reappraisal of, for example, the ancestral remains that are in the museums, or the cultural belongings that are in the ethnological museums all over the country. And I think if it wouldn't have been for their work and their tireless work, I wouldn't have been able to work on the topics as well. And
welcome to episode 3 of the podcast Decolonial Memories with Maike Szymanowski. Maike is a German art historian. Until the end of 2024, she was employed by the Stiftung Humboldt Forum. Over the past 5 years, Maike has co-curated 2 exhibitions on Tanzania at the Humboldt Forum in Berlin. In this podcast, she focuses on the second exhibition, Histories of Tanzania, which can be seen at the Humboldt Forum until the end of this year. Maike, thank you very much for sharing your time, sharing your experiences. Today, this is by coincidence, we talk on the 27th of February, which is the day of commemoration in Songea in southern Tanzania for the murder of leading anti-colonialists in the so-called Maji Maji War. What are your very personal thoughts and also emotions when you think of the 27th of February and the Maji Maji?
The Maji Maji War of Resistance. Thank you very much for having me, Thomas. I'm very happy to be part of your new podcast series. Yes, today, 27th of February in 1906 in Songea, a town in southern Tanzania, named after Songea Mbano, who was the advisor to the chief of the Wangoni in this region. The city was named after him. He was fighting against the colonial powers of the German colonial army and was used as a pawn, as a prawn from the colonial army to against his fellow soldiers and forces. And they tried to force him to work against them, and he refused. And so after 3 days, after this execution of the several, I think at the moment there are about 60 persons buried on the grounds of the Maji Maji Memorial Museum in Songea, and his grave is next to that mass grave, and it's still lacking his ancestor remains that are still here in Germany. So these are my first thoughts that come to mind. I know many people are celebrating, commemorating, and talking about this event today in Songea, and also mourning and feeling a loss of and the absence of the ancestor remains of Songea Mbano.
Thank you. Now, you and I, we are descendants of the perpetrator society, of the colonialists. Now, you have very intense relationships for a long time with people in Tanzania. How does it affect you in your personal relations to know that we have this entangled history with a lot of very violent, cruel actions on the side of the German colonial troops. What does it mean for you very concretely in your relationships to people from Tanzania?
Yeah, so the first time I traveled to Tanzania is 25 years ago, actually. And I came, I was very impressed by the diversity of the society when it came to cultural identity and collective identities. This was very impressive to me. The Swahili identity as some kind of meta identity for people that belong to different communities and still had a very strong sense of national identity as a Tanzanian, as a free people that fought against colonial suppression and exploitation. And it's a very vivid memory in these communities that I've met during the last 25 years while going back and forth to Tanzania. So this is something that is very impressive to me, especially growing up in Berlin, in Germany, and not having learned anything about colonialism, German colonialism in school. So this contrast was very intense when I first arrived to Tanzania. And later on, I stayed in Tanzania with my family for 3 years in the southern part, in Mbeya, and learned more and tried to be part of a community and or like interact with the community. And so I think there's a lot to learn for me, myself personally, from this societies in Tanzania, and especially this historical diversity that is there but still doesn't conflict with a collective national identity is something that I think is very impressive.
So you said you went there for the first time 25 years ago. When you went there initially, were these memories of German colonialism, were they already at that time part of your building up relationship with Tanzania, or did it come at a later point?
Oh, at that point it wasn't that strong. I was more concerned with post-colonial theory, more on a theoretical level, and not directly asking myself, or as a descendant of a perpetrator society, how do I relate to it? It is more in a way of how does this have consequences for nowadays societies when it comes to a racist structures and systemic racism in our societies. This was something that I felt very strongly about, and only later on I delved into it. But my first time in Tanzania, I regularly stumbled over historical buildings or like memorials for different historical events, most of them very violent events, but a lived history that was so invisible and silenced in Germany that still relates to my national to my nation of origin, right? So that's what I was very then intrigued to go deeper into these topics.
Now, you have co-curated over the past 5 years two exhibitions on Tanzania in the Humboldt Forum. Maybe we could focus on the second exhibition now, if you tell us a little bit about what it was all about and what people can see now when they go to the Humboldt Forum, at least until the end of the year, as far as I know.
Yeah, first of all, let me say that this is it's very, very important to acknowledge the work of many NGOs and initiatives here in Germany to raise this awareness, to gain attention for this not appraised colonial history of Germany and the atrocities of German colonial powers in many regions of the world, and therefore also the neglected reappraisal of, for example, the ancestral remains that are in the museums or the cultural belongings that are in the ethnological museums all over the country. And I think if it wouldn't have been for their work and their tireless work, I wouldn't have been able to work on the topics as well and to try to work in these huge state institutions and push them towards a more sensitive approach. So this is, I think, a very, very important aspect to always say they were there first. It's due to their work. And so the exhibition that has been opened in November 29 last year, 2024, in the Humboldt Forum in Berlin was a collaborative project of the National Museum of Tanzania, the Ethnological Museum Berlin, and the Stiftung Humboldt Forum. And together we tried to come up with a sensitive and respectful approach of how can we today work and represent or present cultural belongings that come from, mostly 80% come from a context of violent colonial appropriation. So we were focusing together on the so-called East Africa collection, and these holdings are in the Ethnological Museum Berlin, and try to give an impression on the diverse history of what we nowadays call Tanzania, and go through the centuries, actually a very broad and long histories and many different histories we wanted to talk about, to represent and to show the diversity and the rich trans-regional connections over the Indian Ocean and into the continent of Africa. And by only representing this with, or like talking about this with the cultural belongings that have been held in the Ethnological Museum for over 120 years. So we were not taking any new objects or cultural belongings from Tanzania back to Germany, but trying to focus on these in order to then have a second station for this exhibition in Dar es Salaam after 1 year of presentation here in Berlin. A very important approach, that is the only thing that I might add to that, that we followed from the very early moment on, was that we would not present any cultural belonging without having consent for the presentation, and a consent that should by any means, and how as good as we manage, be an informed consent. So taken under, an informed situation. So we reached out to the communities that we've decided to go into further research in this curatorial team of 7 curators, and talked to them in September 23, and then again met in the National Museum of Dar es Salaam in December 23 to discuss again about the building of the Humboldt Forum and the critical debate that was going on in Berlin, where this exhibition should be on display, about the historical legacy of the Ethnological Museum Berlin and this so-called collection, and also about the National Museum and its history. And on the second and third day, we delved into the cultural belongings that were on this very first list of cultural belongings that should be included into the exhibition, discussing whether or not these cultural belongings should be put on display for a general audience in a building like the Humboldt Forum, and with what context we should give them and how this could be generated. And we finished this conference with 3 conditions that were given to us from the representatives and descendants of former owners or custodians of the cultural belongings. That was, the first thing was that they wanted to have a legal paper that talks about the discussions about consent. And the second one was that rituals were supported and granted that would, like cleansing rituals that would ensure that these cultural belongings would not give bad energy or cause harm in the process of handling or presenting or looking at, or an appreciation of the ancestors. Like these kind of rituals should be made possible before any presentation of a cultural belonging. And the third condition that still has to be met is the return of the cultural belongings. So After this, we produced interviews with the culture, with the community representatives and the descendants of former owners, and put this together in an interesting structure, architectural design in the Humboldt Forum.
Thank you very much. We'll go more into details on some of the points that you have just raised here. As you mentioned, the exhibition at the Humboldt Forum is quite unique in a way that we have three institutions that are responsible and have joint tasks and roles in the process: National Museum of Tanzania, the Ethnological Museum of Berlin, and the Humboldt Forum Foundation. Could you please give us qualify this collaboration? Where did you have real progress and a lot of feelings of joint success, and where did you encounter also some stumbling blocks or some challenges with the three institutions? Now, at this point, particularly focusing on the role of the National Museum of Tanzania.
So first of all, I think if you work together with international or like these state institutions and want them to come together, the first thing you really need to have is time and commitment, for sure. So really, I think an important aspect for a future, from what we learned, is to really have a long time or like enough time to decide on what is the aim, where do we want to go together, what do we get from this, what is our profit, and who's actually profiting. I think this is an aspect that should really be considered very early on in an international collaboration like this, because also I think the National Museum of Tanzania at some point could have been included earlier to that discussions. I think the critique would be fair that the Ethnological Museum and the Stiftung, the Foundation Humboldt Forum, because of the presentation of the exhibition here in Berlin, first stage. So, but I think especially when it comes to this very sensitive topics of former colonial states, working or wanting to work together with their former colony, there is a lot of historical responsibility to be taken over, and accountability, and that comes with trust. And how do we gain this trust? I think this is one thing that we really tried to work on, and I think this is also what we could hear from the speech of the Minister of Natural Resources and Tourism, Dr. Pindichana, when she opened our exhibition, that this is a sign for responsibility, a moral responsibility and true commitment towards a new relationship to be formed, to find a way out of this status of silence and non-communication. So would be a nice success when it comes to this political positions, also having Professor Dr. Steinmeier, the President Steinmeier, traveling to Songea in October 23 and addressing this subject, asking for forgiveness as a very, very early and first moment that was so important because of the restoring of faith, the acknowledgement of the atrocities is actually, I think, from a German point of view so far, has been neglected, the importance of it. And therefore, I hope that this will open up possibilities to start discussing, start working into in these collaborations and to start negotiating about how we can go work together on the cultural belongings, for example, in the holdings of the different museums. So the challenges definitely are time the challenges, like different time schedules of the different institutions. Another challenge is insecure funds. There was from a very early moment on, and it always came back, like not sure whether this would be possible to go on and to have people working with people, and then their contract ends and you're not sure whether you can keep them because they are vital for this project. And so this is something that is really a huge challenge and has been a challenge for us. And there are also different approaches towards the work and different ways to communicate your position, your status, your perspective. And so I think for at least in this collaboration that has been started by the Ethnological Museum with the National Museum of Tanzania, and then at a later stage, the Humboldt Forum Foundation joined this collaboration. We went on new path. I don't want to say that no one else did this before, because that is not true. But in this very individual situation with these state institutions in Germany and Tanzania together, and with this package, this luggage of historical responsibility and guilt. There is and a lot of legacy. It has been new ways, and that always comes with a question of flexibility to adjust to the challenges that come up on the way while you are on the way. For example, what I already talked about, the question of the rituals as a condition to present cultural belongings. It didn't come to our mind before. A collective mind, I must say, the curatorial team of 7 people of 3 different institutions. So we were very lucky to be able to adjust to this question and to give funds, give space, give time for that. So there's a shift, like a learning from this collaboration is there's a shift in the focus on the end product towards the path toward it. Like the production process already holds so much value and should be like supported and protected also in a way that you don't use it directly for the benefit of a singular institution. That is another aspect that I think is very important from the collaboration with the National Museum of Tanzania. Very early on, the concept has to be thought of, conceptualized together. And also the contract has to be discussed, and we took a lot of time. We actually took the whole time of the corona pandemic to discuss this contract, if you agreement between these institutions, to come up with an agreement that would grant rights of use of all data, research data, media that was produced during this production of the whole exhibition, to be owned by all 3 institutions and to the same extent, even though might not everybody have put in the same funds, but it's still owned by all of those. That leads to having like longer rounds of confirmation approvals by all the different institutions for whatever you want to put out in the open, in the public. So, but it's an approach that goes towards the idea of equal rights in the collaboration.
Well, thank you. I think your insights hold valuable lessons learned for possible collaborations of this kind for the future. For example, some German museums might team up with the National Museum of Cameroon, and then I think they could really benefit from your experience in this regard. Mike, you already indicated that a unique feature of your exhibition in this 3-party curatorial team was that you had the ambition to go to the communities, to consult with them, and to get their consent, if possible, if they agreed, so that the cultural belongings could be shown, presented here in Berlin. I understand you went there twice on quite long trips to Tanzania to reach out to the communities. Now, this, I think, is a very interesting aspect of your work and of the process that's behind the exhibition as we now see it in Berlin. Could you give us some more insights? What happened in these encounters? To what extent were communities aware and willing and interested to address these dark times of German colonial violence and cruelty?
First of all, I want to say that this notion of consent is a problematic term, and it can be criticized. And it's from a very early moment in the conceptualizing of this exhibition, we were, like, the curatorial team was aware that it can be questioned. It should be questioned, but it's a vehicle. For us, it's a vehicle to go into discussion, and it actually opens up also when it comes to the decision-making level of the institutions. It opens up questions, so it was very helpful. I wouldn't want to say that it's the best practice model in any way, but in our situation, it opened up possibilities and helped us follow this approach of who should be talking and who should be visible, who should be linked, and who should be addressed when we touch cultural belongings that have been stolen from a colonial, nowadays Tanzania, and brought to Berlin and kept in the storage in the depot for over 100 years, had been treated with toxic substances, had been researched on, had been put on display, and all of this without having a proper, or like not in every case, a proper archival documentation of who the former owner was, of how the social or function and meaning of this cultural belonging should be presented, or should it even be on the public display for a general audience that does know nothing about the origins of the cultural tradition this cultural belonging was developed in. So this is something that we really wanted to start discussing. That's why we came up with the idea, the notion of consent. And we came up with this and discussed it with the communities in the conference, by also opening up the idea of having representations and not showing original cultural belongings necessarily, but also to talk about them without exposing the originals. To have, for example, what we now show in the exhibition, an artistic representation by Amani Abed, that gives a shadow, a glimpse, like the presence of the cultural belonging into this exhibition hall without reproducing the violent colonial gesture of I possess, I can decide, and I do show in this very space. So this was something that we discussed today. There was a possibility, for example, for a community's representative to say, we can't show this in original. We could think about the representation of a very with different means. And it would still be part of the list of cultural belongings that should then travel to the next station, which is a very important thing. So consent is not like a blackmailing instrument, but rather a vehicle. It should really work and open up possibilities. And it should be only taken after given quite some information about the context and the situation, the concept of the exhibition, the problematic building and the debate about it and our awareness for this. And so this is what we tried in the conference. And you...
Could you give us some examples of why communities withheld their agreement to be presented? What are the arguments or concerns?
One main concern was a violent appropriation. For example, in the exhibition, you can see a representation of an arm coil of the Wagogo. They are close to Dodoma, and this was worn by a woman, and it was given to her by her fiancé. who bought it. And the more coils you would have of this copper wire, the more wealthy this person was. So asking, like, it was an engagement ring in a way. And the Colonia Archive and the Ethnological Museum doesn't hold a lot of information about how and how this was acquired. There is the idea that it was acquired on the market, but our experts that we discussed this with, the community representatives, they doubted it. And this was actually enough for us to be very cautious and sensitive about presenting this in original. So we asked Amani to produce a representation of it, to also have a trigger, maybe, if you want to, for a German audience that is not used to being like kept from an original presentation. They would ask, why can't I see the original when it's there? And it's due to respect. And so this is something that we really want to start discussing. This would be one example. The other very, very important and prominent example is the Kigiria, which is a sculpture from Ukerewe, is a small island in Lake Victoria of the Wakerewe people. And it is a huge wooden sculpture that belonged to the former king, the Umukama Rukonge, and he kept it in his space. This is something a US American researcher wrote down, so we also have to be sensitive about this this research that he has done, if we only focus on that. But he wrote down, and if we follow that, we cannot show it. He said that he would keep it in his space, and there was a certain person that would take care of the sculpture. The sculpture would be the symbol of the power of the king, representing our maybe. Presenting, there's a term in African art history that is called presentification of the uncle, the advisor to the king that died actually shortly before this sculpture came into the possession of the king. So only for a very exclusive group of people, the Omukama would present and take Kigiria out of this space and present it to these people. So this was appropriated violently and given to a missionary station. And during that time, when it was held at that White Father's missionary station, most likely been hit and injured and abused. And so this the injuries are still visible up to until today, and they are very intense and palpable. And also, we cannot talk about Kigiria as an object like we do so many times when we go into museums, but it's rather a presentification of an ancestor. And so this is something in between. So Amani and me, we discussed intensely with the family of the acting Omukama, Kasesa Talengwa Lukumbuzia, and his mother and sisters, and also the uncle, in which way we could produce a representation that would fit their or meet their expectations. And so this is what we are presenting in the space at the moment. Altogether, we traveled to approximately 15 different communities, and that is a very poor number if you consider over 125 societies in nowadays Tanzania. But it is a matter of human capability. We were just not able to make it bigger, and so we had to start at some point. Mm-hmm. And this is something that is hard to communicate.
May I come back to the initial encounters with the communities? Did you experience some reluctance or even resistance to address the violent colonial past there?
In general, we didn't. Actually, many people that we met, they were experts in their fields, in their communities, in their for the history of their region, of their community, their village, or their lineage, the families. So many people were open and interested in discussing. Some people were more focused on not being directly interested in cultural belongings that are so far away, but more focusing on the issues more closer to them, the more pressing issues in their communities right now. But still, there would be then some delegations from that communities that would be like coming and joining into the discussions and also being committed and passionate about it. So I think overall, I must say that everybody was very interested in learning about this, and it was new information for many people to learn that the cultural belongings were still there, that they have been kept. They were not surprised to hear, like, now I'm generalizing, I'm just saying, like, they had very different responses, but many people were not surprised to hear that we suspect a violent appropriation of many of the cultural belongings. And what I found very, very touching and intense was the moment of reconnection to a cultural belonging that was still so far away in Germany. But due to the pictures that we presented, due to the stories, this little archival information that we gave, directly there were like stories, legends, myth that was that were triggered in a way and that were retold. And I think there's a and also at the same time, like, we need this cultural belonging in our community to be able to teach our youth about these people that are linked to the cultural belonging. So this is something that directly sets these cultural belongings in place, in work, in function today. So another reason for me to also put this into the videos that you can see in the exhibition, to hear that they have people that connect with them. It's, yeah.
So the communities are part of this process now with the understanding that they will receive the cultural belongings once they return from Germany. What does the National Museum of Tanzania and the government of Tanzania think about it? Is there a sort of more or less formal agreement between the communities and national authorities?
Yeah, so this idea of having two stations for this exhibition has been in our discussions and negotiations for a very long time. First station would be Berlin as a last possible presentation or representation of the cultural belongings, of a first selection of the cultural belongings. And the second station would always be the National Museum of Tanzania. And then after that, the cultural belongings should stay for good. A restitution. This was like what was at least in the curatorial team and also in the cooperation agreement, like set down. It always comes down to the availability of funds. If we like go on and on and on, as I told you already, this is something that is always giving insecurities. But this is also how we communicated with the communities. For them, it was never really interesting to learn about, like, it was interesting to learn about that there is an exhibition in Germany that wants to maybe talk about the cultural belongings if they give consent to that we do so. But the much more important topic was that it should be presented in the National Museum of Tanzania. So the second stage was the more important aspect for the most of the community representatives. Keep in mind that these people might not be the regular exhibition visitors. So they might not really have a lot of experience with exhibitions. But many communities are in the process of starting smaller community museums, or already have started or maybe planning to do so, because there's a recent regulation by the Tanzanian state that asked the Antiquities Department, which is responsible for also for the National Museum of Tanzania, to support these small initiatives. Also, the Madi Madi Memorial Museum in Songea once was an initiative like this coming out of the communities.
But do you have a clear indication or commitment by the national government to then pass on, hand over the cultural belongings to the communities?
There is an agreement, like this paper that was produced after the community conference in December 2023, that would stage these, or like write down these three conditions under which a possible consent would be granted. And the third condition was the return of the cultural belongings. It is an agreement between the National Museum of Tanzania and the communities. It's signed by the Director General of the National Museum of Tanzania, and it actually it also talks about the responsibilities of the National Museum of Tanzania to coordinate and support a return. So from what I feel is there is a commitment, there is a wish to support this, but it's definitely due or like waiting for a national position that comes from the Restitution Commission of the Tanzanian state. So the National Museum and also the communities will not act without having support of the Restitution Commission of Tanzania.
So going back to your encounters, conversations with the communities, what specific demands or expectations towards Germany, towards the German government, towards German cultural institutions did you hear?
Well, it was a very diverse but also very eloquent requests were formulated. I mean, mind you, we talked to 25 almost 30 different people, and some were talking in a more general way because relating to the Madi-Madi War of Resistance. So they were always describing and discussing the impact of the colonial atrocities to their communities, and with relation to that, to the lack of people, the loss of people, the loss of ancestors, of families, of loved ones, but also the loss of knowledge and power for a community to prosper and strive. They would always ask to first of all get acknowledgement of these atrocities. To ask for forgiveness is a very important thing, and that is to restore the faith and pride of the people. But also to establish their new relations. This is a necessary step that should never be neglected or forgotten. Other requests were more into a long-term relationship, continuation of a relationship that would ask to discuss how a Tanzanian people, the diversity of the Tanzanian people would be falsely or biased represented in Germany. Like, I talked to a younger person and would really question, like, I think that we have been represented in a very bad way. I really would like to work on that, to work together with younger people to discuss this. And this was really far into the countryside. I really was very impressed by his position. And he and also others would support that they really need to have the means to go into further research together with different research institutions in Tanzania, but also in Germany. So also on this level, there is a wish to a request for this should be part of a restitution idea, right? But they're very, very logical also asking for support to reconstruct infrastructure, like to build secondary schools, to build streets, and to definitely build museums and memorial sites to support Tanzania to become, for example, UNESCO World Heritage Sites and all these ideas. I never heard anyone saying, I need money for myself. This was never actually said. It was always for the community to strive, and it was always in relation to the suffering of many, many communities, and also addressing the aspect of the robbery, the theft of the cultural belongings, really weakening a community on a very long term. And this is something that I think is not understood in a German discussion at this point.
Yeah. And now, considering the legitimate concerns or requests and demands of the Tanzanian side, where would you say, where do we stand as Germany, German government, cultural institutions, civil society? To what extent have we really become aware and listened and been ready to act on this?
Well, I think the I can only speak on behalf of this collaboration that I've been part of. And I think that we've done quite some like successful steps when it comes to implementing, as I said, our instrument, the notion of consent, to raise awareness and sensitivity in the institutions, in the German institutions. So it's something that you have to reckon with at this point. And also the negotiations about the collaboration agreement to formulate the shared rights of use. I know that there are many principles these days of how to share research data, like the CARE principles, for example. This was, I think, published at the same moment when we had to come up with an idea. So it's, and also during the corona pandemic, we came up with the idea of having this self-made declaration that we share the rights of use, and we also differentiate between who's supposed to ask and who's supposed to confirm, but it's always including the three institutions. I think these are steps that really have impact or could be looked at and discussed further for future collaborations.
Several times you already referred to the second station or step of the Tanzania exhibition, which is now in the Humboldt Forum. Where do we stand in this regard? I mean, is there any possibility, or do you see any possibility of funding, co-funding provided from the German side?
Well, I think it's a tragedy, I must say, that we don't have any security, that we don't have any confirmation for financial support, for funds to do the second station at this point. At least as far as I know, right? Yeah. From my point of knowledge at this moment, I don't know of any funds that are confirmed for the next station. And by not like pushing and supporting it starting now, we really threaten the schedule to lag behind. And then the original plan was to have this exhibition on display for 12 to 18 months, have a time of 6 to 12 months of preparing and documenting the cultural belongings and preparing them for their travel to Tanzania. So an earliest opening of an exhibition in the National Museum was thought of or planned, if you say so, for beginning of 2027. This was the idea. And so this is the promise that we gave, actually. And this is the agreement that we signed as well. And so this is, for me, it's a tragedy. And I think at this moment in time, there are so many hopes linked also to this exhibition from the communities, but also, I think, from the National Museum of Tanzania, maybe from many different people that relate to this endeavor, I really hope that the decision makers in the different institutions start applying at the, for example, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs here in Germany together, or they start applying at the cultural minister for funds to support this this next station.
Okay, thank you. So I guess the Foundation Prussian Cultural Heritage would be in the lead, right, to become active securing the funds from the German side.
Oh, I'm actually not sure. I think it's a joint thing, and if you can really differentiate them that much, they all hold their responsibilities, and definitely the Ethnological Museum of Berlin, Germany, has been in the possession of the cultural belongings for a very long time. So it's in their core interest to deal with this issues and to really support the idea. But also I think the Humboldt Forum Foundation has been a great important actor to push and support and realize this project. So I think they should work hand in hand. Yeah, thank you. So if I should conclude, I think I really feel very honored and privileged to being part of this team of seven curators that were Paula Ivanov of the Ethnological Museum. She's the curator of East, Northeast, Central and South African collection. And Achilles Bufude, he's head of the international program at the National Museum of Tanzania. Flower Manasse, she's the senior curator of the history department at the National Museum of Tanzania. Christine Weber-Zinn, a postcolonial provenance researcher at the Central Archive of the State Museum of Berlin. And Balthasar Nyamusia, he's the curator in charge of the Madi Madi Memorial Museum in Songea. And my dear colleague, Jocelyn Stahl, she's curator for education at the Humboldt Forum Foundation. So this was a really, really beautiful team and intense exchange and fights and discussions. And we all learned a lot, I guess. And so it was an honor to work together. And I think the next step should be really also coming very, very soon. So I hope to bring this exhibition to Tanzania. That would be like the perfect outcome of this project and the energy that we invested.
Thank you very much, Maike, for your wonderful insights and perspectives, which I think will be telling people a lot about your work and commitment to work on the entangled history of Germany and Tanzania.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.